Hello, everyone. Let's see. Can you hear me? Okay. Somebody give me a hands up in the chat or whatever that you can hear me. Okay. Pretty please. Yes. Yes. Awesome. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to This is Office Hours. I am your host, Coach Kathy. Here's how we roll. I already see we've got some hands raised. That's great. We're going to get rolling here in just a second. If you are new and this is your very first Zoom call, welcome. Here's how it works. At the bottom of your screen, you will see raise hand if you want to come on screen and be coached. You will see a Q&A box if you have a question for me, and you will see a chat. If you decide you want to chat amongst yourselves, that's fine. I don't spend a lot of time in the chat unless like it's super slow. So I don't anticipate it being slow. So if you want to talk amongst yourselves, make sure you're talking to all panelists and attendees. I will tell you, we are on Zoom, and Zoom on this platform has a little bit of an issue with the video. So some of you may see me, and some of you may have a blank screen. It's fine. As soon as I call someone up, that usually clears up. So why don't we just get on to it? Remember, if you raise your hand, I'm going to bring you on screen. Make sure if your hand is raised, that you mean for it to be raised. I don't want to, you know, catch you. I don't want to bring you on screen when you don't expect it. Also, if you could make sure you are in a place with stable internet, that would be super helpful. I would prefer you not to be driving. I don't mind if you're walking around. I don't get motion sick like Corinne does, but I really would prefer not to be coaching you while you're driving. All right, let's get started. Let's see who we've got here. Grace, then Jen, then Steph. Let's see what we got. Grace, you're first. There is not a specific topic for tonight. This is open coaching. You get to just raise your hand and I will coach just about anything. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Okay, that's interesting. I don't think my AirPods are working, but you can hear me fine, so I'm going to take them out. Sure. All right. What's up?
Trying to shoo my son away. Okay, I think my husband got it. Sorry. Okay. So I would like coaching on help with my relationship in this current situation, and then also the current situation. So I have been thinking about, I've been thinking about becoming a life coach for a few months, which I know really isn't that long, but it's a long, long time. And my Gemini brain. But anyway, and so I attended the Life Coach School webinar that Brooke had today. Mm-hmm. And I've really been thinking about doing the Life Coach School. Mm-hmm. And obviously the main issue is the cost. It's, as you know, expensive. Well, that's a thought, but it's $18,000, and I do not have $18,000 to spend on that. And so up until this point, I had been talking with my husband about it, and it wasn't really an option because of the cost. Okay. And so After the call with Brooke, I was thinking about just trying to think of any way that I could make that happen. Mm-hmm. And it came to me, like I was like looking at my 401k. I don't even have that much in my 401k. And I was looking at my son's college account, and I'm like, I do not want to touch that. And then I was thinking I could ask my parents, and I really think that they would loan me this money. They're financial advisor and accountant, so there would be interest on it, but I definitely think that they would loan me this money. Anyway, I apologize for the long story, but so I'm having a lot of stress and anxiety trying to figure out if this is something that I'm wanting to do. But then I get home, and my husband and I, really through this process of being with working with Corinne, working with you guys, has really strengthened our relationship. I've been so much more open than I used to be. And so whenever I was having these thoughts before, I would have just decided everything myself, not included him in the conversation whatsoever. And now I am talking to him about these things. So I get home and he's very quiet. He's very silent. And I ask him, hey, what's going on? Do you want to talk about this a little bit more? Continue our conversation, because we were just talking via text. And he said, I feel nauseous. Like, I don't think I want to talk about this. And so now I feel like I need to solve the situation, even though I also know that I can't solve the situation. So
what situation are you trying to solve?
I'm trying to get back. Well, I want there to be less stress, even though I understand that it is a stressful situation. And if I was not feeling stress, then that would not make sense. Stress about his happiness. So stress about being responsible for everyone's emotions in my house, which is something that I'm definitely working on, trying to process through, trying to.
Are you responsible for everyone's emotions in your house?
No. No, I am not. I'm only responsible for my emotions. And so I guess I'm trying to figure out, you know, a sense of direction, a clear sense of direction, even though maybe there may not be one.
Okay. So we've kind of got two different things going here. We've got whether or not to go to the life coach school, and we've got, I want my husband to be happy and my family to be happy.
Or at least not stressed to the point of where he's going to throw up.
Okay.
And then I also want him to talk to me. I think that's also the issue here is that when he clams up like this, he doesn't talk to me, and then there's disconnection.
Who's feeling disconnected?
Me.
Right. Because of a thought.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So let's look at this model. Let's just draw a picture of what's going on here. That's what the model does, right?
Right.
So husband says he's nauseous. Can you hear me okay if I turn around? Okay. Husband says he doesn't want to talk and he's nauseous. Okay. Your feeling is disconnected. We've skipped the thought line.
I tend to do that.
Right. A lot of us do. A lot of us want to attribute our feelings to the C line, but there's mm-hmm. always a thought in the middle. There's always something you're thinking about him saying he doesn't want to talk that makes you feel connected or disconnected, as the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
So the way to get to that thought is to ask yourself, why do I feel disconnected because he doesn't want to talk? What's the answer?
Honestly, the thing I just keep going back to is I want him to be okay so that I can be okay. I want him to appear okay so that I can then be okay.
Feel disconnected?
I'm sorry.
Is that why you feel disconnected?
Well, I feel disconnected because he's not talking to me. However, that's the circumstance. So, so when he doesn't talk to me, I don't know what he's thinking. Is somewhat of a thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't know what he's thinking, but why is that a problem? Why does that make you feel disconnected?
I'm scared we're going to go back to where we were just not talking at all. We were going to get a divorce a few years ago. And we've really connected lately. I'm scared that me bringing up something that causes us both anxiety is going to cause a disconnection there.
Okay. So the thought is then what? I'm scared we'll go back to the way we were.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm scared we'll go back to being disconnected.
Yes.
Okay. When you think that thought, get to being disconnected, what's the feeling?
Sad and scared.
Yeah. Yeah, sad and scared. Mm-hmm. That makes more sense, don't you think?
Yeah.
You're worried about being disconnected, but you're not feeling disconnected. You're worried that it's going to, and worried is my word, you're scared that you'll go back to being disconnected because he said, I don't want to talk right now. Mm-hmm. So your thought is, I'm scared we'll go back to being disconnected, which makes you feel sad. And when you feel sad and scared about this, what do you do or not do?
Oh, I try to fix it with all the one-offs Corinne and Brooke say to my husband. I try to say, well, just use this as an opportunity. And I just try to fix it. He calls me, he says, I try to life coach him, which is kind of funny on the situation. I try to fix.
Tell me something you don't do.
I don't come from a place of understanding.
Okay. Maybe you don't give him space to work it out and to have his own thoughts.
Oh yeah, I don't do that because.
Yeah, right.
Because then I don't know.
Because then you don't know what, you don't know what he's thinking.
Then I don't know that he's okay, but obviously he's not okay. And that's okay.
But what if he is okay? What if he just needs space? What if he just needs process time?
I think my thought around that is based off past experience. Now I've probably shown up differently in past experiences, but he will shove it down and not talk to me, and then he'll have a lot of anxiety over that, and then I go back to being scared and sad.
Yet you're working from scared and sad anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
almost. To me, this almost is desperate. I've got to get him to talk to me. I've got to fix this.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah.
So then your result becomes, you're really, in a sense, you're still disconnecting because
absolutely.
You're giving him an opportunity to think his own thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Coaching him, trying to fix him. You're trying to tell him what to think and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So the result is a little bit of a disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, the result line always trips me up. But yes, it is disconnected.
Yeah. So the interesting thing about this model is your husband's just being honest up here. He's saying, look, I just can't talk about this right now. And your thought, I'm scared that we'll go back to being disconnected.
Is causing disconnection.
Causing disconnection.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
How can you, when he says he doesn't want to talk right now, how can you actually stay connected?
He didn't specifically say, I don't want to talk right now. That was probably me putting words in his mouth. I asked him, he just wasn't talking to me.
Okay.
So
how can you, then we can fix that. That's just an eraser.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah. And I mean, he's definitely showing up differently now. I mean, just with this past, like this year that I've been working on myself and showing up differently around him. And that, you know, I talked about the life coaching thing and I said, I checked to see if there's a coaching call. I was like, maybe I should get coach. And he goes, well, I researched and I said, if you want to be a coach, you should get coach. And I was like, thank you for looking into that. Like, thank you for, you know, so.
All the best coaches have coaches.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
I mean, I do. I have a coach. Dr. Harris.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I just thought it was really cool, for one, that he looked into that. And then for two, he told me about it. And so I acknowledged him for that. And then that's when he kind of looked a little pale. And I said, are you okay? Like, you know, what's going on? That's when he said he felt nauseous. And I said, why? And I said, and then he didn't really say anything. So I kind of, yeah.
So you gave him all the thoughts.
Yeah.
So when he's not talking, and when you're trying to give him all the thoughts, how can you just take a pause and stay connected? What can you employ when your husband isn't talking to create a feeling of connection?
Well, his love language is definitely physically touch, so I could just hug him.
What could your thought be?
That I love him.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he just needs a minute or two or 10 or a day.
Yeah. Yeah. Or 18,000 days.
This is how he processes things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know. And then my brain's like, is this how you process things? Mm-hmm. Asking him all the things. But yeah, so maybe just being patient.
That would be an interesting model for you to work.
Mm-hmm.
When he's not talking, you know, instead of connection, maybe patience is what you need to think about and create in that moment.
Yeah. And I think I was starting to run a similar model in my mind when I was driving home. And my thought about the being patient was, well, if I am patient, then my action is not talking about it. And then my thought is that he is just going to assume that I no longer want to do this life coach school.
You're back in his model again.
Right. I tried to turn a, oh, never mind. It's not important.
What? When'd you start?
I tried to turn an intentional model. Or I tried to turn an unintentional model into an intentional model and then turn it back into an unintentional model.
My goodness. That sounds technical.
What, you know, that's what, why I said, never mind.
Yeah. Patient. If we're going after patient in the feelings line, what was the thought again?
The thought was, if I stop talking about it, he's going to think I no longer want to do it.
Okay. Does that create patience?
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
What does that one create?
More anxiety and worry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got the, in that thought line, he's going to think.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You have to get out of his model.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Get out of his model. You have to let him think his thoughts.
Even when I don't know them, yes.
Because here's the news flash. Unless he tells you, you don't know.
Right.
You can never assume he's thinking anything. Just mm-hmm. because, you know what, Kathy, we've been married 18 years or whatever you said. I know. No, I never know what my guy's thinking. We've been married 33. I pointed to his office.
Unless yeah.
I ask him. And sometimes he doesn't even know what he's thinking. Yet
yeah,
I've got this whole dialogue in my head. He must be thinking this and this and this and this. And I'll say, what do you think? And he'll be like, I mean, seriously.
That happens. Yeah. Yeah. Well, sometimes I would do the same thing. So,
yeah. So the answer to your model about scared, about being sad and scared of being disconnected is you come back to connecting with him by allowing him to think his thoughts. And allowing him to communicate what he wants to communicate with you when he's ready to communicate. You have to give him that space.
Yeah.
And you just tell him, I got you on this. My brain's going 100 miles an hour. I don't know if yours is or not, but I'm ready to talk when you are. Oh, by the way, are you ready? talk yet. Yeah. I mean, seriously, but.
Yeah.
But you have to, the biggest thing you have to do is get out of his head. You have to get out of his head. And just remind yourself, I don't know what he's thinking in this moment unless he tells me.
True. Okay. That's helpful.
Is it? Is it helpful? You believe me?
I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I mean, I think that I need to get out of his head for sure. I need to get out of his model, which is funny because I'm always pointing. I am an HR manager, so I'm constantly coaching my employees every day. And we're always talking about getting out of the heads of our bosses and other employees. And yeah. It's just funny when the advice is thrown back at you.
And here's the other thing. Whenever we're in someone else's head, we're never saying amazing things. You are not thinking, he must be thinking this is a great idea. We should sell the house so I can go to school. That. You've gone all the way to all the terrible things.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what we do. When we get in other people's head, it's always about all the bad things. It's always that way. It's like, you know, she must be thinking, you know, my butt's too big for this dress. She must be thinking, you know, whatever. We never think, well, that girl must be thinking I look amazing today. You know, it's always.
No, yeah, that's true. I completely agree with that. I went to Quick Trip today to get like 10 candy bars for one of those candy bar cards I was making. And the whole time I'm like, this person's thinking, why is this fat chick need more candy bars? And I'm like, she's, who cares? Like, you know, so yeah, yes.
It's one of those, you know, so what if she is?
Yeah.
Ask yourself, so what if she is?
She can
do whatever she wants.
I know right.
With the candy bars, and that's what matters.
Yeah. And I was okay in that situation. Mm-hmm. And then, but this one hits closer to home, so. But yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, give him the space to have his thoughts. And when you do that, it's likely that he'll be more open with you when you're not trying to tell him what to think. You can actually create connection by allowing him to think without trying to fix it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, that does. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. See ya.
Bye.
All right. Jen, you're next.
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I'm super excited to get coached by you. So I have a little bit of a story.
Okay.
So I've been feeling, I guess, going through everything and really starting to focus in on how I feel and my thoughts and everything. I've noticed that because I'm not numbing myself with food anymore, per se, I'm feeling a lot more. and I'm just trying to figure out how to wade through that. And the situation today, my job has been extremely busy. I work in payroll. So it's always crazy busy. And right now I'm short staffed. I have more direct reports than I normally have. So I've been feeling overwhelmed and everything. And I took vacation for the last few days for the holiday. And today was my first day back. Also, my grandmother died over the weekend. And my boss is aware of this. So I had a presentation today. That's why I came back for the day. But I hadn't really talked to my boss about taking bereavement or anything yet. And my boss didn't talk to me at all. We're working from home, of course, like many other people. But she didn't talk to me at all. She just sent me a to-do list of things that I asked her to do when I was out, and she really didn't do any of them. She just kind of sent it back to me like, here you go. So that was kind of the first thing that I had feelings and thoughts about, right? And then towards the end of the day, what really kind of got to me is I got an email from someone else that kind of mentioned that my boss would be off tomorrow, which she had not mentioned to me. And I then took a look at her calendar and I saw she's marked on her calendar that she's off tomorrow through next Friday.
Okay.
And she didn't say anything to me. So now I got really upset. I could hear my blood pumping. I started typing some things that I knew I should not send. And I thought, I should just get coached on this. I should not do anything right now because it's going to be bad. But I definitely feel very upset.
Okay. So, boss is off. She didn't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else going the C line?
No, probably, no, probably not in the C line.
Okay. And you said the feeling is upset?
I would say the feeling is maybe probably, not undervalued. Like, I feel undervalued, but I think really I just feel like there's, I don't know. I do know.
Then tell me the thought. We'll work our way to the feeling. What's the thought about this? You saw, told you the boss was off. You saw on her calendar she's off and she didn't tell you. What do you think about that?
She has no regard for my feelings or my situation.
It's a good one. All right. When you think that she has no regard for my feelings or my situation, how does it make you feel?
Hurt.
Okay. When you feel hurt because you're thinking she has no regard for your feelings or your situation, what do you do or not do?
Get angry and start typing things I shouldn't send.
Start typing. Say things you shouldn't say. What else?
Threatening to look for another job. Basically telling her she's a shitty boss.
Oh, threatening to look for a job. Anything else?
Looking to self-sabotage. Think we're good.
Are you thinking about any reasons she might be off?
No, I'm not.
It's all about you.
It's all about me.
So what do you think the result is? She has no regard for my feelings or situation. Hurt. Start typing. Say things you shouldn't say. Threaten to look for job. Looking to self-sabotage.
That's good.
What is actually the answer to the question I asked you? You're making it all about you and nothing about her.
Yeah.
Why is that important?
Because having a good relationship with someone goes both ways.
Yeah. You don't know what her, you don't know anything about her end of this because you haven't opened up the communication about it. Does it matter? Maybe, maybe not. But you've made this all about your anger about her. And she might be going on vacation. She might be having surgery. She might be doing whatever the thing is. None of that matters except that your focus is all on you. And this looking to self-sabotage is, you know, is kind of a key indicator here that you probably need to clean this up. Because essentially, if you're looking to self-sabotage, you also don't have any regard for your feelings.
Yeah.
Okay? Because if you're looking to self-sabotage, you're probably hunting something to eat or some way to hide or distract.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, can you be hurt in this situation? Sure, if you choose to be. Right? I mean, this is model that you can hang on to if you want, or you can just ask a couple of questions and see if you can work out time off
for right work.
Or you know who can cover for you. Right? You're solely focused on the bosses often didn't tell me. In fact, if I were to bet, you'd be like our first caller. You think this is what hurt you. She didn't tell me.
Mm-hmm.
This really cool thought here, she has no regard for my feelings. That's what's hurting you, is that thought.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. So I don't want to hang on to this.
I'm sure you don't, because this model, I don't know, anytime you have a model with a hurt in the feelings line, it probably doesn't feel really good.
Right. Yeah. No.
Understand the model. It's important to understand, you know, that the thought is what's creating this feeling of hurt, and the thought is what's having you typing probably like you know.
Yep.
Saying ugly words and threatening to look for a job and all that kind of stuff. It's not her. It's the thought you have about her, because you know there's other people on your team who probably didn't know that she was going to be off. And they're like, oh, good. Boss is gone.
Right.
I mean, there's other people who would have different thoughts about that. That's how we know that you've created mm-hmm. that's run the rest of the model.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the solution?
Either I need to change my thought and boss up and deal with it, or maybe open a conversation with her to maybe ask a little more why.
Or maybe just ask her what some of the options are. You know, I've got a funeral to go to. Mm-hmm. Can you help me work through some options here? Can you help me work through this?
Yeah.
It kind of goes back to communicating in a place that doesn't come from hurt.
Yeah.
So when you communicate in a place that comes from hurt, it's probably not, what do we say, things you shouldn't say? The action.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. The boss, she said she come off starting tomorrow. Is that what she said?
Yeah.
Didn't you reach her?
What'd you say?
Didn't you reach her when she's off?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you about this C line. So what? What's next?
So what's the next circumstance, you mean?
The boss is off and she didn't tell mm-hmm. you. All right, we're going to take this model down.
Okay.
And we're going to add to the C line. Your name's Jen, right?
Yes.
Jen needs bereavement leave. Now what's the thought? What feeling are you trying to come up with? Or action? Think of something that we'll build the model from there.
What word am I looking for? Like come to an agreement or a solution that works for both of us.
Okay. So that could be an action. Might be a result also.
Mm-hmm.
So let's put that one in our pocket. Let's put it down here in the result line for a minute. What do you have to do to come to an agreement that works out for both?
Explain and communicate.
Really? Explain and communicate. Okay. Anything else? That's probably covered.
Listen.
Oh, listen. Okay. In order to do those things, how do you have to feel?
Something like at peace, I guess, like, or open to some feeling open in some way, open to the conversation. So, calm or.
Calm might work.
Mm-hmm. Calm, yeah.
Calm might work. And in order to feel calm, so that you can explain, communicate, and listen, and come to an agreement that works for both of you, what do you have to think?
It's not all about you, Jen.
Oh, you could just, yeah, it's not all about you. It could actually be something like, I'll just give you one.
Okay.
I'm just going to give her a call and let her know what I need. Right?
That is a calm thought.
Yeah. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Oops, a call and let her know what I need. That opens to communication.
Mm-hmm.
It has a little bit of self-advocacy in it, right?
Yeah.
Creates calm, you know, lets you prepare to explain and communicate and listen. And hopefully come to agreement that works for us both. That's really not a good result line because it has her in there too.
Mm.
I think this result line, It was a good starting place for us, but I think this result line becomes more like I advocate for what I need at this time. You present your needs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In a more professional manner, in a way that you're proud of rather than a hate. Yeah. Angry, hurt email.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Much better result, I'm sure. Even if I don't get my way.
Exactly. Exactly. At least you know you showed up the way you wanted to rather than, you know, from a place of hurt.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Is it possible to not know about your grandmother?
No, I do know that she does know. She definitely does know.
So we have to get out of her model then?
Yeah.
And communicate with her.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of people in the chat who are assuming that she's just an awful person.
No, she's not. She's not an awful person. She's definitely not.
And here's the other thing I know. When you lose somebody you're close to, it is very easy to be reactive with hurt in other areas.
Yeah.
Just watch for that and communicate as calmly as you can while I know you are still you're still feeling sad.
Yeah.
About the events of the week.
So. Yeah. Okay. This helps a lot.
I'm glad. I'm glad it does. I'm sorry.
Thank you very much.
This week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Steph, you're next. Are you there?
Unmute.
You are? Hi.
Unmute. Hi. Can you hear me?
Ma'am, can you hear me?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I do. Hi.
What's going on?
What I wanted coaching on is has to do with our work. My husband and I co-own a party store with his cousins, and they want to meet tomorrow and talk about their retirement. They're in their 70s, we're in our 60s. And so I wanted coaching on a mindset to have to go into the meeting. And my model comes with, I have several models. One is a thought of, oh my gosh, what will we do? They know so many things that they've got so much. Everybody here just has their work in their heads. They've been here, 30 years, I guess, 25, 30 years. My husband's been here since he was a kid. And so, you know, he's been here 60 years. And one of the cousins particularly keeps so much in her head, all the salary information. She does HR and payroll and some of the receivables and billing. She's a certified accountant. She's really good. She keeps everything in her head pretty much. As does my husband. He's the buyer and does the inventory, and it's all in his head. And we're all like that. I'm not faulting them for it, but it scares me because how will I be part of, not take over, but yeah, I'm gonna have to fill those shoes.
Okay.
And so my model is, the circumstance is they want to retire. That's a fact. They want to retire. My thought is they've kept so much in their heads, we're screwed. And then the feeling is fear. I'm scared. And the actions include, I've wanted to eat all day because we're meeting tomorrow. And, asking for the numbers and asking some questions. I've done that. And just preparing, trying to prepare mentally for a meeting with them.
That doesn't come mentally for a meeting doesn't come from fear.
Okay.
Right? I mean, think about it. If you're afraid, if you're in fear, if you're really in fear, you're probably not doing a whole lot more than eating or thinking.
What?
That was Siri. My watch just answered about something. I don't know. I'm sure I understand. Hang on. I can think of that. All right. When you're in fear, You want to eat, but you pretty much are paralyzed. Fear paralyzes you.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So asking questions.
Stand up.
A different model. We're probably a more intentional model. Like, I need to get this figured out, might be the thought. And it might be more like desperate and ask a lot of questions, you know, machine gun style. Yeah. Might be that model. But a fear model has pretty much, I'm paralyzed.
That's the one that's got me eating and and wringing my hands. And
right, wringing my hands. Asking pointless questions.
Uh-huh, worrying.
Hands, right, worrying. Uh-huh. When worry's in the action line, there's usually not a whole lot else productive in there.
Okay.
In here, because I'm going to tell you two things you said that you may not have even know. Then your reason is,
well, I screw it up.
You don't learn anything. You don't learn what's in their heads, right? Because you're wringing your hands, you're worrying, and you're asking pointless questions.
Okay, yeah.
The pointless questions, what's in, I get ahead of myself, their head. The pointless questions, the two I picked up were, what will we do and how will I fill those shoes?
Those are the pointless questions.
Because they just, you know why they're pointless?
No, I think we need to figure those two things out pretty quickly.
Right, what will we do? But it has you in this, I don't know what we're going to do. Oh my gosh, I'm afraid that they're going to leave. It has you spiraling rather than actually figuring out what you're going to do. When you ask yourself, what am I going to do? Or what am I going to do? From worry, you're not solving a problem. You're worrying. You're spiraling. When you ask yourself, how will I fill those shoes? You know, it just seems like an insurmountable mountain of problem.
Yeah. And in my intentional model, you know, I wrote, it's exciting. It's a great opportunity, a great challenge. And then I have myself feeling excited and the actions are more the positive steps towards doing all that. But I think my unintentional model keeps taking over.
Yeah. It's because the intentional one is a little bit of a reach for you.
Ah.
You can see.
Think.
It's that, right? In the future, a few months ahead when you guys have got it all figured out and it's rolling and it's doing great, it's just that messy middle in the middle. River of misery that you have to transverse to get to that. You know, we're going to be okay. I just don't know how we're going to get there yet. You know, how am I going to fill these shoes? What are we going to do?
Right.
Is in the middle, right? So what you do is you actually answer those questions. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Okay, so you answer those questions. What, you know, they're going to talk to you about retiring. Okay.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Tell me, step one, what are you going to do?
Listen.
Okay. Step two.
Cry.
Right. You can cry. Sure. It's a change, right?
Yeah. And I hate change.
Right. Step three.
Get busy.
Get busy doing what?
I have no idea.
You're going to ask them questions. Mm. You're going to document the answers. You're going to ask them to write things down. Give me a list of this. Give me a list of that. Right? You're going to figure once you move past this, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? You're going to get busy and you're going to figure it out. You're going to do it by asking them questions, by picking their brain, by doing all these things.
How do I not eat in the meantime?
You let yourself feel worry and stress and fear. You let yourself be uncomfortable. It's a change and it's going to be uncomfortable. You want to eat because you don't want to feel fear, because you don't want to feel uncomfortable. That's what happens. You see, what happens is you feel the fear, you feel the discomfort, I don't want to feel these. I'm going to seek relief. So I'm going to go over here and have and eat. When eating over here is actually counterintuitive to what you need to be doing. You need to be asking questions. You need to be thinking through processes. You need to be deciding how you're going to advance the business without them and how you're going to, you know, unscrew the top of their head and dump all that knowledge onto a piece of paper, right? Eating doesn't solve it. You have to tell yourself eating doesn't solve this, right?
Right, right.
Right. What solves this is me making a list of things I need them to memorialize for me.
Yeah. That's what I need to do is make some lists. Eating does seem to solve it in the moment, though. I feel better
eating
for a minute.
From whatever you don't want to feel. Okay? I'll give you that. But it ultimately doesn't solve the problem, and it doesn't solve the weight loss.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like a trade-off. It gives you a temporary distraction from feeling bad, but that temporary distraction wears off, and you still have all these things to figure out about the business, and now you've got extra, you know, weight, extra whatever.
Yeah.
That,
which, yeah.
Hips for me. Yeah. Right?
And there's a, in the, my mind, like when I went upstairs to grab some food and snack mindlessly, I'm thinking I would be better at this if I were thin. All my problems would go away, see, if I were thin.
Right? Because that's
what, say it again.
Here comes the judgment. Because not only are you upstairs hiding from, you know, distracting yourself from feeling fear and uncertainty, you're eating and you're judging yourself because you're eating.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just don't eat.
Yeah. That's be the solution to a lot of things.
Right? But here's this, I just proofread the Massive Action Line for next week, and it's all about finding hunger. Okay. And it's so good because the first thing she said, it's a 4-step process. First thing is you ask yourself, am I hungry? And the second thing is you catalog what's going on in your brain and what's going on in your body. All right.
Okay.
So you're upstairs looking for something to eat in this moment when you don't want to feel fear. You'd be asking yourself, am I really hungry right now? Well, no, I just want to seek relief.
Mm-hmm.
Step 3 is, if you're not hungry, don't eat. And step 4 is, figure out how to solve your problem without eating. What would solve? So in the moment, you want to eat because they're trying to retire.
Mm-hmm.
If you move to, okay, eating is not going to solve this, what will? What could one of your answers be?
Well, the idea of making lists of what we need to get out of their heads. I think I don't even know what I don't know. I don't know what's in their heads that I'll need in 2 years or next year.
How would you go about starting to figure that out?
I guess looking at the past couple of years and looking at what we did when and mm-hmm. how it was done. And there's just not a lot of things written down. We don't have even a digital inventory or point of sale, they call it, or everything's just very, it's like it was 60 years ago. So there aren't any written manuals or written inventories, or it's all in somebody's head. Okay. So I don't know how to look up what I'm going to need to find from them.
Okay. So how can you, if you don't know what you don't know, what should your first question be?
What don't I know?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And then they're going to give you areas. They're going to say, well, inventory, vendors, this, this, this. And you're going to
right.
one at a time.
Yeah. it's mostly with the accounting. She does all of the accounting and HR, and that's, I don't know anything about that.
I could be wrong, but I'm going to bet they're not going to leave you high and dry.
Okay.
I bet you can figure it out. You might make a mistake or two along the way, but that just shows you what direction not to go in. It's just like overeating, right? Just shows you what.
Right.
Okay, let's try this then.
It's that analogy of trying to shoot a basketball, and you make a mistake and you shoot again. You make a mistake and you shoot again. You make a mistake and you shoot again. Eventually, you hit the basket.
Yeah. Same thing with the baby who's learning to walk. Falls on that.
Fall and fall and fall.
All the time, but keeps getting back up.
Yeah, this feels more serious. It's livelihoods for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So it feels more serious. It feels really scary. And I think I don't trust, you know, the relationships here have been rocky for about 5 years, pretty rough, where I'm trying to get us into social media and they have a strong opinion against it. They just want billboard advertising and they still want us in the phone book. Nobody uses the phone book anymore. And it's things like that have caused a lot of tension. So I don't trust that they want to leave us really well prepared. I think they'd like to see us fail. That's a thought. That's not a circumstance.
That's probably one that you need to put in a model too. I think they would.
Yeah. Yeah, they'd like to see us fail, and then I'm terrified because I'm terrified of failing.
What's the worst thing it can help?
Well, we all go broke, and our 40-some employees go broke and lose their jobs, and we lose the business and go bankrupt.
Do they go, or do they just lose their jobs and have to look for another job?
Okay. They lose their jobs and would have to look. We'd go broke. I don't want to go broke. Been there, done that.
That's where you start. I don't want to go broke, so I better figure this out.
Okay.
Right?
That's my new model.
Innovation. That okay. Empowerment in the feelings line rather than fear.
Okay.
Fail. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to keep this business from failing.
When I think that thought, I don't want to go broke, it still feels very scary to me. The feeling is still fear.
Okay. So what are you willing to do to keep from going broke? What are you willing to do?
Well, I was thinking about that. I'm going to be back to working 7 days. And, you know, I've been trying to get away from 7 days, but it's going to take just full-time commitment again. Every minute of every day, I guess. I don't want to live like that either.
Figure it out until you don't have to.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to go broke and I don't want to work 24/7, which right now it's like you either do one or the other.
And that's another thought. Okay. It's one or the other. You don't know that for sure because you haven't had this meeting yet.
Oh, yeah.
You haven't put into action these things that you're going to do to figure this out.
We're in the party industry. Our store is a party store, and people stopped having parties in March. Yeah. And we were closed, completely closed for 8 weeks. And then we had riots that broke out all our windows and stole a bunch of stuff, and we're boarded up. So we look like we're closed, even though we're open. Year to date, for the first 6 months of the year, we're down 50% over last year. That's a lot to be down. And then taking in the thought of our business partners wanting to move on. We can't afford to buy them out. I just really don't know what to do. But okay, so I have to stop all that and think, what's the next step without eating? Because now I just want to go eat again.
Yeah, because you're spiraling.
Yeah.
You're telling me everything that's going wrong. And I get it. I mean, I get it. It's not an easy time for a lot of people right
for
now.
For anybody. Yeah.
Yeah. Having a party store, you know, where I'm assuming your niche is in-person parties.
Well, sure. Yeah. Parties in general. Yeah. Halloween is our biggest thing. And if Halloween doesn't happen.
So this could be an opportunity. Like we were talking about, what's the next step? What's the next step? This could be an opportunity to pivot the business, knowing that your partners are retiring. You could open your mind to figuring out how to keep the business afloat by doing it in a different way. One of the things I admire so much about Corinne is her ability to pivot. When COVID, y'all, the COVID resource page popped up, she started doing all the calls, right?
Yeah. Yeah. She was amazing. Yeah. She was amazing. Yeah, y'all are amazing.
When the riots happened and all the diversity came up, she pivoted.
Right.
And she figured out how, and is still figuring out how to take care of everybody under every different circumstance, situation.
Yeah.
So what if this was an opportunity for you to get as much information as you could out of them on how to run the business and then make some business decisions that you think are sustainable?
That's the opportunity.
And I know it seems insurmountable, but you can't lose 50 pounds. You have to lose 1 pound at a time.
Right.
Pivoting a business, learning how their end of the business, you take one step at a time. It's not like you're not going to solve all the issues tomorrow.
Right.
But if you get yourself out of fear and you're not eating, you're thinking about, what is my next step? What can I do to save this business? What can I do to take care of these employees? What's my next step?
Okay. Yeah. Probably growing the online stuff. I've been trying to do that. And so it could just really be a blessing, because I'll be free to do more of the social media and online advertising and things like that that I can't do right now. There's
all kinds of options. If you guys are the owners, you have all kinds of options, all kinds of things you can try and fail at and try something else.
And fail at. Thank you. Try and fail. Yeah. Yeah, we're good at that. We have a warehouse full of things we failed at.
A desk full of things I failed at. I mean, I was a government accountant a few years ago, right?
I was a research associate at a university, senior research associate. So my thing is not the party business. I came down here so we could retire.
But right now your thing is the party business, right?
It's not what I'm good at.
That's a thought. It's what you tell yourself.
No.
Right? Are you good at your job?
No, I suck at my job.
Really?
Yeah, I'm good at writing government grant proposals and running a research center. I really suck at this. I make so many mistakes, and I spent all morning today trying to figure out how to send a merged email from MailChimp, Google Sheets, our mail list. I spent 4 hours just trying to figure that out. I totally suck at this.
Did you figure it out?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're learning.
Yeah. Yeah. So it takes everything I've got to learn that. How am I going to learn everything she does?
How are you? How are you going to learn it? You don't want to go broke. You've got 40 employees you want to take care of.
And I don't want to eat through it.
You don't want to eat through it. What option is there?
Just asking the questions.
And stop
making lists.
Yourself. And stop talking ugly to yourself. Oh. No, you're saying I suck at my job. It just holds
but you. That's a fact. Okay. Yeah. Thanks.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Sorry it took so long, everybody. I hope the next person gets on here and I didn't cut anybody off.
You take care.
Bye.
Becky? Becky B. Becky is not coming up.
I'm coming.
There you are. Oh, hey.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's been a while.
Nobody gets out in Nashville anymore.
No.
Mm-mm. Once you get out, you get sick. You go to bars.
I know. Right? So, Kathy, I've figured out that, I think I figured out that I have been buffering a lot with other things, and I am using that as my excuse for kind of maintaining the same weight since October. But I guess the thing I want coaching on is, like, I can't stop doing these other things to distract myself. Even though I'm completely aware of what I'm doing, and it's stupid. I'm getting on dating sites and talking to guys, and then I'm also like getting on Amazon and shopping and things. So I'm aware that I'm doing it, and I have taken steps to, you know, to stop or to slow down or whatever. And I've taken the apps off my phone, and I have journaled about it, and, you know, all these other things. And then in the past week, I've had two incidents that have happened. The first was on Saturday when a fellow that I had been talking to for a while finally just cut it off completely. And I had a pretty bad overeat Saturday night. That's when that happened. And then last night it happened again. And the other thing, so the first is the man and the second is the money. So I downloaded some the Budget Mom and all these things, and I'm trying to like start from square one and figure out my budget and everything. And so one of the steps was to print your statements and like highlight and categorize everything that you're spending money on. And so like everything that was yellow was like non-essential stuff, and almost the whole thing was yellow. And I think I just freaked out a little bit. Like, I can't believe I've spent that much money on stupid crap. So
which one do you want to deal with? You want to do with dating, the overeating, or the money? Which one do you want to?
I feel like I have a better control over the money thing. Like, that one is, I'm much more aware of that, and it's starting to come together. The thing that I think I'm having a harder time is staying off dating sites. I'm not even sure if I want to stay off dating sites. I'm just tired of...
How do you want to stay off dating sites?
It's so much work. Since around October, I have dated several guys. I've talked to, I can't even tell you how many guys, and I'm being particular because I just got out of a 20-year marriage, and I have a pretty set list of things that I don't want to settle for. I'm not going to settle this time. And so I kind of felt like I needed to get some fun out of my system and just date a whole bunch of guys and just see what was out there. And the one that I was really attached to, and he's the one who broke it off Saturday officially, I don't know. I'm just...
Okay, so you've told me all the reasons you want to be on the dating site.
I want to be off the dating site because it is,
it's so much work, and I feel like it's distracting me from my family, and from trying to do a side business. It's distracting me from that. I'm using it to buffer when I should be doing other things. So I feel like it's just becoming a distraction.
Okay.
So
let's decide.
Okay.
Are we dating or are we not dating?
I don't want to be distracted, but at the same time, I don't want to be alone. So I don't know. Like my marriage was not great, and I was very alone for a long time in that marriage. So I am ready to have fun, and I'm ready to meet someone who I can have fun with. I just don't want to do the work that it takes. Yeah. I don't want to put in, it's so time consuming. It takes so much time away from things that I would rather do, like build my business and get out of debt. And oh my gosh, I'm sorry. Okay.
I want a guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to work. I don't want to work.
Right. Like ideally, I would just meet someone, and then it would just, you know, magically happen.
Oh.
But I know. Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry. Can you still hear me?
Who doesn't want that? The perfect guy. Huh? To pull up and say, pick me. Right?
Right. It doesn't happen.
So I want a guy, but I don't want to work. What's the feeling?
Conflicted.
And when you're conflicted, what do you do or not do?
I will I journal about it. And I can honestly say the other day, my journal entry was, it's very, very just stream of consciousness. And I was like, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not getting on there. I'm going to change. I'm going to delete the app. I'm going to unsubscribe to the emails. I'm going to do all these things. And then somebody who I had been talking to texted me, and I was like, oh, look, a boy. And so I start talking again, and I get completely distracted again, like legit in the, like that one little time. So the journaling, I don't know. I'm rambling. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I took journaling off. I think it comes from another model.
Okay.
It comes from the model that you want to figure out what you really want.
Okay.
Okay. I think here in this action line, you allow distractions.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do.
And the result becomes, and of course the C line is to date or not to date, right? Basically.
That is the question.
The result line becomes, I still don't know what to do. Okay. Because you're spinning around. Because you haven't decided whether you on the dating sites or whether you don't, because you keep going back to them.
Yeah. It is like it's like a quick hit of ego. It's like, you know, someone likes me, so then therefore I feel appreciated, and I like that feeling. I like getting in there and feeling, you know,
that's
attractive or wanted or whatever. So
the dating sites and what somebody says makes you feel attractive, wanted, right?
Yeah.
No.
That's not right. No, the thought. Sorry, you're right. Sorry.
They like me.
They do. They like me. I'm not going to be alone.
I'm not going to be alone. They like me. Attractive. Yeah. That's why you don't want to give up the dating sites. Because you could feel attractive and wanted without them.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
You're relying on someone else, a guy on a dating site, to say?
Strangers.
Yes. Hey, Becky, you're kind of cute. Want to talk?
I will probably never meet. Yeah.
That's the crux of it. And I did trick you when I said, when I left out the thought line.
Uh-huh. Well, you're so tiny at the bottom of the screen. I can't see.
That's what's so important here is, yeah, is this thought, they like me. Because if you felt wanted and attractive and secure and all those things because of what you were telling yourself, rather than relying on someone else to say, hey, you're cute, do you want to talk? Then you wouldn't need, you wouldn't be drawn to the dating site. You might be drawn to the dating site to find a guy or to find a partner or to find a someone to hang out with, but you wouldn't be looking for someone to like you, to think you're attractive and wanted and cute and happy and all the things.
So how do I disconnect that? I mean, other than the self-love and working through that process.
Well, so there is, when you get a text, when you get a ping from a dating site and it's somebody who wants to connect, there is absolutely going to be a hit of dopamine that comes with that. Okay. The problem is when you rely on that for your only hit of dopamine.
Okay.
Rely on that for the only happy, for the only validation. There's nothing wrong with like your boss saying, good job. It's when you only look for from your boss and rely on him or her to tell you that all the time rather than telling yourself that. Okay? Because you might have a boss like I do who doesn't say that very often. So I have to be able to say, you know what? I'm a pretty good coach. People come to my calls. They raise their hand. Right?
Yeah.
So I have to, sometimes I have to give myself that hit. Right? And that's what you have to do here. You know, so I'm not going to say that you're not going to get a hit of, you know, oh, they like me. That shouldn't be the only. Yeah. So you do need to do the work on self-validation and what's wrong with being by yourself a little bit. And what are you running from if you don't want to be lonely? What's wrong
with what's right? I didn't hear that thing.
Why is it, why do you not want to spend time with yourself? Why do you not want to be alone? Probably because you haven't done the work on thinking you're attractive and wanted. Because you're you.
Yeah. So if I were to say that I was like a words of affirmation kind of person, does that have to come from me first? Like, do I need to, I mean, I know that is the answer. I know that, but.
If you are a words of affirmation person, I would totally find, I'd Google affirmations. Seriously, I would. And I would, or I'd listen to a bunch of calls or whatever it took to come up with words that you can give yourself on a daily basis. I seriously have an affirmation wall right here in my office, right across the desk. Okay?
Yeah.
Those big post-it. If I could pick up my computer and turn it around, I would give it to you. But it's those big post-it notepads that come on these big easels and you rip them off and you stick them on the wall. That have affirmations on them. So when I feel shaky, I look up there and there are things that I can believe. Like, I am the perfect person to do this job. I believe. But sometimes I have to remind myself of that. What's another one? I'm trusted so I can trust myself. Okay? So that those are meaningful to me. You need to find things that are meaningful to you. And so if you feel shaky or uncertain about yourself or wanting to know if you're lonely or looking back on past relationships, what can you tell yourself that you believe to give yourself your own affirmation? I'm really super cute and I've lost a lot of weight. Right? I'm ready to look at the next part of my life with openness and whatever. The first time I did this, I was actually being coached when I was losing my weight. I was being coached by Jane, Corinne's friend Jane. She talks about all the time, her best friend. Jane was a coach with PMP back in the day. She was my coach. And she told me to Google affirmations and to pick 8 or 10 of them to write down every day. And that's when I
said,
and it made a huge difference. That's how you start, you know, the thought line isn't they like me anymore, it's I like me. And you feel attractive and wanted because you want yourself. Because you're good with being you. That's where you want to
be. And that creates that dopamine, that creates that.
Creates a settled feeling inside of yourself that you believe. Okay. And then, so when somebody pings you on the dating site, it's not the only thing that you're getting. You might get a little dopamine. It won't be like, kaboom, he likes me. It'll be like, I've got to say, because I'm pretty awesome.
Yeah. That might be a little far-fetched, but maybe I'll get there.
Something to work toward. You know, Corinne has been doing this work for what, 5, 6, 10 years or something? Mm-hmm. I think she's pretty amazing. But if you look at those pictures of her when she was 100 pounds up, I'm not sure that girl thought she was pretty amazing. Mm. You have to do the work and you have to do it consistently to put in your own feelings line, amazing, attractive, wanted, because of a thought that you have about yourself, not a thought someone else has about you.
Okay.
It takes a little work and it takes a little practice, but it's well worth it.
Yeah. And I did the self-love probably a year ago and I loved it. And, you know, I'm a different person than I was a year ago. So maybe it'd be a good time to just do it again.
So the new has self-love journal prompts, except not in the planner because somebody, might have been me, forgot that page was in there, but it is on the website. Self-love journal prompts are in the planner on the website.
Okay.
And if you email support, they can send you the one page.
Okay.
Somebody in it might forgot to make sure that one page, the self-love journal.
You had one job, Kathy.
One job. That's right. One job.
Oh. Well, you do an amazing job in that one job. So, all right. I'm going to look into that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'll see you soon.
All right. Bye.
Jennifer and Gina. Jennifer Yearsley, are you coming? Almost. Still can't hear you.
Oh. Okay, how about that?
Hey there.
Hey. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, this is the first time I've done this, so a little nervous. Please forgive me. and I didn't get the little box right away to connect, so
that's
sorry
okay.
about that.
You're here.
Okay, so I joined last September, and I started doing the things in June, listening and whatnot, and then I joined in September. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it was really like the best thing. Like this is something that I have always thought I needed the mind work. And so I was really excited, and I just dove right in. I felt like I was really doing amazingly well. You know, I was learning all the things, and I was so engaged and all of the above. Mm-hmm. And I even got to the point where I was 2 pounds away from joining the Queen's Club. and then the bottom fell out. I just had a little bit of a health thing come up, and then my father-in-law died suddenly. And I was very close with my in-laws. So it was a big shock and all of that. And it just, ever since, I just can't seem to get my head right. You know, work is really crazy. Work is really, really busy, and it's very stressful. And then the coronavirus hit, and I was trying to help my mother-in-law deal with the grief while they live in England. So it was hard to manage that whole thing. She came actually to stay with us for a couple of months. It just was one thing after another. And I've gained all the weight back and then some. And I just keep trying to hit the reset button, and I'm really struggle busting through it. And a huge distraction in the whole thing is that I did just get a promotion a month or so ago, and I'm kind of learning a whole new job, high responsibilities, and I pretty much work all the time. Yep. And I feel like I'm just throwing myself into work to not feel the feels and just not recommit. And I'm just having such a hard time.
So you're using work to distract you from what?
I think so. I don't know. Succeeding. starting over. I sort of start over a little tiny bit, and then I just can't seem to get back to the four basics. I do a little of each basic, and then I sort of peter out, and I know I want to reconnect, and I just don't do it. I don't know why.
So I just don't do it. I don't know why. You're not allowed to say I don't know. You know that, right?
Oh yeah. No, not really. I'm still. I was listening and learning for a couple of months, like three, probably 4 months, and then I really don't. I haven't been sort of back, and so I didn't learn all of it.
All right. We don't let you say no is because it blocks your own wisdom. So if I were to ask you, why haven't you recommitted? What would the answer be?
I think I actually sort of figured it out a couple of hours ago.
Yeah, but you just told me you didn't.
It's sort of a repeat. I'm a repeat offender.
A what?
I feel like I'm a repeat offender. Like I will dive back in, and then something will happen, and I'll fail again.
Okay. So you don't want to dive back in because you're worried that you'll fail again?
Pretty much. I think so.
Okay. This is a theme this call, isn't it?
It's a what?
It's a theme this call. What's wrong?
I think so.
So in the past, you've lost 23 pounds. Mm-hmm. So you know how to do it.
Yeah.
So if you can get around the thought, I might fail again.
Right.
Okay. So what? What if you might fail again? You expect perfection?
Yes, I do, and I know I shouldn't.
Well, does perfection really exist in the world?
No.
So perfection is almost for, all right, now I'm just going to say this because I tend to also expect perfection. It's a fallacy. It's an excuse I give myself to not try something because I won't be able to get it perfect. My husband really wanted me to take up golf.
Right.
To the driving range, bought me this cheap set of clubs because he didn't want to invest a lot of money. I whiffed that ball for, I don't know, a whole bucket and said, I don't want to, because I couldn't hit the ball the first time. I wasn't willing to put in the reps.
Right.
That's what you're doing.
Mm.
You really want to lose weight?
Yes.
Are you willing to put in the reps?
I don't trust myself. You know, I do, but I I'm just gonna do all the work, and I'm just gonna, the bottom will fall out again. I just repeated myself.
What if we don't do all the work? What if we pick one basic or one thing?
Right.
And trust ourselves to do that every day.
Yeah.
You start to
every day. Because I find that I go, okay, I got that. I did that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then the next couple of days I'm like focused on, and I know I haven't harnessed that first thing yet. Like then I'll start focusing on, okay, I got to get the water, you know, and I still haven't mastered the first item.
Right. You bounce to the next thing and you bounce to the next thing and you don't really solidify anything, which proves to you that you're not going to get it right.
Right. Meanwhile, at work, I've managed a whole system of organization. I have a color-coded calendar, and it's keeping me, like, really on the ball. And I say to myself, okay, I can do this at work. Why can't I do this at home? Why am I always on the back burner?
Instead of saying, why can't I do this at home, why don't you say, how can I do this at home?
Right.
It's all in how you ask the question.
Right.
Right? But let's get back to this one thing that you can do until you're the, because the reason we ask you to do one thing at a time is so right. that you build that trust in yourself, that commitment to that one thing. You know this, right? You're nodding. You're like, yeah, I've heard this.
Absolutely. Well, I have listened to so many of the recordings and I'm like, ah, there it is. That's me. You know? And I feel like so much of the knowledge and not really the thought work, but the knowledge has come to me and I've kind of gotten it. But then I'm like, okay, apply it now.
Okay. So what's the one thing going to be? Just one. And don't make it the hardest one. It doesn't have to be.
Like one thing to get consistent with?
One thing, one easy thing that you can do every day.
Every day. Well, help me decide between two. One, I feel that I already have a little bit of a routine, so I might be able to have some success by continuing the routine. Well, maybe this is it, continuing the routine and getting my journal out, because I've been really, really like just procrastinating against the journal and almost like, I don't know how to do the journal.
What's your routine is? What's the routine? Tell me what the routine is.
Normally, I get up in the morning, I will sign on to work, check email real quick for any emergencies, check my calendar for meeting times, first meeting, and then I'll go down and grab a cup of coffee, grab my medicines for the day, my water, and, you know, I might grab, you know, breakfast to take back up to work with me. And then kind of follow the rest of the day, you know.
Okay.
Work all day.
Okay.
I don't work and get dinner going. And just after that, it sort of just goes to the rest of the day. And right. And by the time dinner's over, it sort of falls apart after that.
So what can you add to the morning routine that will contribute to you getting back into the game with the weight loss?
Well, I think it might be good to add the journal.
Okay.
You know. Because even to me, I feel like that might be the most powerful thing because I could journal about what I'm having trouble with as well as my plan.
You could also journal about what you intend to do for yourself that day.
Right.
When I journal in the morning, I set the intention for my day.
Like, yeah.
This is what I'm going to do.
I loved it when I was doing that.
Yes.
That made me feel good.
All right. So we'll put set intention. Okay. How do you have to feel to do these to do this morning routine?
Motivated.
Okay. You already have this morning routine going. You've just added. Whoops! I just wrote through it. This step.
Right.
Right. So, are you already motivated to do a morning routine?
In my head, I am, but yeah. I seem to not put the full thing to action.
All right. So in your head, you're motivated. What's the thought that creates motivation?
Excitement.
No, thought.
Oh, okay. Thought. I just want to lose weight. I want to change my life.
It's, I want to get this day started right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? Getting this day started right, because look what you're doing. You're getting up, you're signing on to work, you're getting coffee, taking your medicine. You're taking care of yourself.
Right.
Coffee is taking care of yourself, in my book. Got your medicine.
Yes, I agree.
Checked your email, right?
Right.
You're just going to insert about 2 minutes to set your intention for the day in your journal.
Okay. I'm writing notes here.
Well, you can watch this again, too.
Yep.
What was the thought again?
Well, the thought was, I forgot already. No, I didn't forget. I wrote it down to get my day started right.
I'm going to get my day started right. And I'm going to make the C the morning routine.
Right.
And the result of this is they start off right.
Right.
Baby steps, little steps. They says, okay. Don't lose 50 pounds until you lose the first one.
Exactly, exactly.
Time.
And see, I know all that in my head. It's just like, why do I keep getting in my own way?
Why do you?
I don't know.
See, that's the kind of question you have to answer and not say, I don't know. Otherwise, you're just going to keep asking.
Right. True. So why do I get in my own way? Probably because I feel that, I think I feel like I'm not really that important. And I know that's ridiculous because obviously the ship doesn't sail if
right.
Mommy and I'm doing everything. So I know that's ridiculous.
You have a thought error. It comes up. We don't have time for this. I'm not important. I have to get to work. Whatever it is. Those are called thought errors. Everything the brain tells you is not true.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Sometimes it's lonely, right?
Exactly.
As a thought error, and you say, you know what, that thought doesn't fly today.
Right.
I have a morning routine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get my day started right.
Exactly.
So you have to identify the thoughts that are just not working for you, the thought errors.
Right. Right.
You know, your brain is thrown at you that just aren't true. The day Corinne told me, not everything my brain told me was true, I thought my head was going to explode. I was like, what?
Right.
Really?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's so weird because I feel like I get it so much, but then I'm not applying it to myself. Like I can listen to coaching of other people and go, oh yeah, she's right. And, oh, I get it. And then it's like I'm learning. I feel like I am one of those people that, like Corinne has mentioned before many times, that you sit on the sidelines, you watch everything go by, and you watch everyone else succeed and pick up all the habits. And I understand them, but yet I'm like, okay, I watched the video. I got work to do. I got to get back to work. That's all that's important.
Yeah, you lost
cleaning the house, you know.
Lost 23 pounds.
Yeah, I know I can do it.
Right. So your brain is going to go, let's make this easy and eat. Yeah. And just work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm
worried about my health. You know, I feel that if I don't get a hold of it, I think I might be getting diabetes. And it's like a big, you know, like one of the biggest goals for me is not to get diabetes and to go the other way that it's not even a threat. Mm-hmm.
So employ what you know and decide, mm-hmm. I'm going to take one step forward by journaling tomorrow. And then the next day I'm going to journal. You already know that you can trust yourself because you do it at work.
Right. It's so hard to believe that though, even though I know I have to get there again.
You just have to practice a new thought.
Yeah.
You change a belief, you practice a new thought over and over, and you tell yourself over and over, I can show up for myself just today.
Right. Right.
Right. And then you have to put it into action by doing what you say you're going to do.
Right.
And with the journal. You know you can't trust yourself.
Right. But
catch the thought error and say, I can today.
Okay.
One step at
a time. Okay. I need to stop saying that. Yeah.
Or you need to just recognize it as the bullshit that your brain tells you.
Right.
All the time, I'm not good enough.
Right.
If I lived in I'm not good enough land, I would not be on this call right now.
Right.
I'd still be at my job, you know.
Yeah.
Fighting the state of Tennessee for my paycheck.
Exactly. I'm a government analyst too, so I get it.
Five or six times a day, probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Now I have a question for you. I do also think I might need to get involved with like an accountability partner, and I couldn't really figure out how does one do that.
Okay. Go to the website. Go to pmptribe.com. Okay. I believe it's in community. Let me check really quick so I can tell you. There's a little form that we ask you to fill out. It is in community, find accountability partner. And I locked myself out somehow. fill out the little form. If you just want one person, I don't remember exactly what the form says. In fact, I think they just updated it. Heidi is the one who helps people get matched up. Takes her, we get a lot of requests, so it takes a few days. Just be back. I'll send you an email. Okay.
Okay. I think that'll help too. It'd
be great for you.
Okay. Great. Well, I appreciate everything you do for everybody.
You're very welcome.
Have a good night.
You're journaling.
I will. I got my journal right here.
All right. See ya.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Gina. My pen's running out of ink. All right, there you are.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Good.
I joined 3 weeks ago. I think it's 3 weeks ago. So, So I just got my planner in the mail yesterday, but I went to the call on that Sunday that Corinne had, and we did our 60-day goal, and mm-hmm. I set my rate of weight loss at two pounds a week.
Okay.
I'm not hitting that. So about three weeks in, I'm down 1.6.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if I know I'm not getting the hunger scale right. I'm still working on that, but I'm wondering if I need to change my composition of what I'm eating, and I feel like that's a diet rule. So my plans are pretty much comprised of all the things that I told myself I couldn't have, and so now they're on there, and I'm debating whether or not I should take them off or drill down on the 2-2.
Okay, so Corinne always says you don't change anything about what goes on your plan until you have everything else on lock.
Okay.
Okay, so let's talk about the four basics. Are you planning every day?
Yes, I am.
So 24-hour plan is on lock, right? Yes. And it's realistic. You've told me that, right? Mm-hmm. How about your water? You getting 64 ounces of water every day?
Not every day, but I've some days, yes. I'm actually shocked.
About how often? Half the time?
Yeah, about half the time. I usually hit 32.
Okay. How about sleep?
I'm doing the 7 hours, yeah.
Is that on lock?
Yeah, I actually think so, yeah.
Eating when you're hungry. How's that one?
No, better.
Better?
But, yeah.
Okay. And stopping at satisfied?
Sometimes. I'm still struggling to figure out what that is.
And honestly, I'm just going to give this one to you. This is the hardest.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, it I'm not trying to give you a pass, but I'm going to tell you it's going to take a minute. It's easier to identify hunger.
Yeah.
I mean, tell me what hungry feels like to you.
a little burning in my stomach, maybe.
Yeah. Could be a little burning. Could be, I don't always growl. Like, I'm hungry right now. I'm probably a minus two right now. And I salivate a little bit. The burning, a little burning in my stomach. It's probably just those juices churning up going, yo, it's time to eat. Where are you, girl? Right? So eating when hungry, I would definitely start there and start focusing on asking yourself. It was just like, have you been on the whole call?
Yeah. Well, I missed like maybe the first 3 minutes, but yeah.
Next week, the basics boot camp that we're doing, if you're doing this, is all focused on minus two. It's really focusing in on eating when you're hungry and how to do that. Okay. So if you have you listened, you've listened to the hunger scale part of the No BS by now, right? Yeah. That's going to help you take it just a little bit deeper and give you a few little tips. Okay. So I'd really focus in here and try and eat only when you're hungry. And I'd do everything I could to get this water in.
I'm sloshing around, Kathy.
The water is going to help this.
Okay.
It really, really is. And I get you saying you're sloshing around. I mean, I get you. But it makes a huge difference. And it's one of the easiest things to do. The water and the sleep are the easiest ones.
Okay.
So tell me what your water routine is right now.
Right now, I aim to get to my 32 ounces by noon. And then I try to hit the second 32 before like 5:30. Okay. Because otherwise, it'll interrupt my sleep, I feel.
Absolutely.
So I have been, I did do a streak where I was shocked that I actually hit 64 ounces by 5-ish. But like today I haven't hit that, and now it's because of what time it is, I'm like, I'm scared to even try to go for it at this late in time. So
what can you do tomorrow to get all 64 in?
Maybe set a timer on my watch.
Yeah.
You know, in the second half of the day. Cause I do okay with the first 32. It's that back 32 that I struggle with.
So. Figure out a reminder for yourself.
Yeah.
Cause it really, really will help. Yeah. And it'll help this eating when you're hungry too. Especially if you're snacking or if you're like wondering if you're hungry, so I'll have a snack. If you will have a glass of water instead, it may help you realize that you're really thirsty, because that's what our body does. When it starts to dehydrate a little bit, it thinks it's under stress. So it'll send you a hunger signal when what it really needs is water.
Okay. Yeah. I've been doing mega meals, like the whole five courses, you know, plan. So I haven't been snacking, but yeah, I'll try to focus in on the water.
These mega meals, I'm going to bet you're not hitting a plus two then, are you? You're probably going a little bit more than that.
Probably. I'm asking. Yeah, probably. I have started to say just because that's what you put in the bowl or on the plate, you don't have to eat the whole thing.
Try to leave the bites behind.
Yes, I will. I'm working on it.
All right, let me tell you about three bites. Have you heard my story about three bites behind? Have you heard my math? How many meals you eat a day?
Basically two.
Two. Okay. Three bites twice a day. That's six bites. Six times 7 days is 42 bites. Okay, so that would be leaving 42 bites behind, which is equivalent probably to about two meals.
Okay.
So if you leave three bites behind at every meal, you're going to cut a day's worth of eating over a week's time.
That's true.
And it's going to help you. It's going to help. You're going to have a lot of chatter in your head about, oh, we need to eat those three bites. This sure was good. I don't want to throw this away. And you answer it by saying, I have a goal of 2 pounds a week.
Yeah.
So somewhere, either hungry, satisfied, or water, I'm going to have to figure out what my level up is so that I can get closer to this goal. What's it going to be?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay.
Okay. So I'll stick with my favorite foods. I won't change composition.
I wouldn't change anything until you nail these things.
Okay.
Because once you have these on lock, I'm going to bet you're going to lose weight at a quicker rate than half a pound a week. And then what'll happen is you'll get down to a certain point and you'll realize, you know, you'll stall out a little bit and then you'll start looking at the food to see what needs to level up. Okay. And then you won't change everything. Okay.
Okay.
All right. You're doing good. I'm so glad you got on call.
Me too. Thank you.
Have a beautiful smile.
Thank you.
I saw somebody in the chat was like, man, she got a great smile. You do. You're beautiful.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Take care. Bye. Carmen Smith. Uh-oh. I'm not sure what happened to Carmen. Oh, here she comes. Good. Thought maybe I goofed you up, Carmen. Need you to unmute yourself. Oh, there you go. You're unmuted. Video. Hey.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Sorry, I couldn't get my internet tried to reconnect me. So I just had a question in regards to, I'm receiving a lot of not like pushback or anything, but a lot of encouragement from a sister-in-law who does intermittent fasting and has lost like a ton on that. And she keeps like, well, this would work perfect with that. And you could like, you know, cause I've been trying to explain, no BS in the whole bit. And none of it sounds bad, but I'm really scared to involve myself in anything other than just this because everything goes straight to a diet, but I am genuinely struggling with this. So I don't know. What's your thoughts on that?
Why are you thinking about intermittent fasting?
Just because my sister-in-law keeps bringing it up and she's like lost 80 pounds. And so it's inspiring. And that's why.
Is she losing it because she's only fasting? Only because she's fasting?
Yeah. Like she sticks to a 16 and an 8.
Okay.
And that's pretty much, I mean, I'm sure she's also like not eating out of control and not doing those things. So that's why she keeps saying to me, like, you could do your four basics along with this. Right. And that's where I'm just scared a little bit to even get into, like, I don't want to switch away from this. It's like, do I incorporate that thinking also? Because I'm here because diets don't work.
Yeah, let me ask you this. We'll go back to Jean Isley. You make a 24-hour.
Or I keep moving you. I am making 24-hour plans. I am making 24-hour plans, but I go from consistent to not consistent. So, because I'm still trying to really work out that in my mind that this is not a diet.
Are you doing your water?
Yes, water. Water's always a consistent for me.
What about sleep?
Yes, I get a solid 7.
You only eat when you're hungry?
No, definitely not. Pardon?
Then intermittent fasting, 16 eights aren't going to work for you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely am eating when I'm not hungry.
Let me tell you this. Tell me what time you stop eating at night.
It depends on the day, actually. Like sometimes it's 8 o'clock, sometimes it's 9:30.
Okay. What about last night?
Last night was probably 9:30.
9:30. And what time was breakfast?
9:30 I ate and then breakfast. I actually didn't get to breakfast. I wasn't hungry until 10 o'clock today because I ate later last night.
So you had a 12 and a half hour fast. We all fast.
Oh yeah. That makes sense.
Right? We all fast.
Right.
Dinner around 7 or 7:30. And I usually have breakfast around 9 or 9:30. So I run on about 14 hours overnight.
Okay.
It's what
so what's the difference?
It's what we do. Just like what I told Gina, you have to have these things on lock before you try anything else.
Okay.
Okay. You really need to stop eating when you're not hungry. You need to look really hard at that one and at stopping when you're satisfied. Because you got the other ones down pretty well. It doesn't matter what's on this plan. If you're
not. Yeah, I'm deaf.
Go ahead.
But when I'm making my plans, I definitely do better when I'm planning food that like is really good, like that I want to eat versus diet food. And I'm definitely struggling. If I'm stressed at all, or after if I've had a meal, it's like, if I'm not, I don't emotionally feel like I'm satisfied enough, then that can be enough for me to blow the whole plan off. So I'm working on that.
Yeah. Emotionally satisfied is a lot different than physically satisfied. Because emotionally satisfied is in your brain. And it doesn't matter how much you eat. You're not going to create emotion.
No. No. And I know, but the impulse is still like taking over versus me being able to recognize it and just go, okay. You know, so
that's just simple.
And I think that's why I'm taking in what my sister-in-law is saying, because it's feeding the part of my brain that feels like I'm not getting results.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to say this. You're not getting results because you're not fasting.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, 100%. It's my diet brain going, you should jump to something new. And I don't want to do that. So
that's your thought error. You should jump to something new.
Mm-hmm.
What you should do is work on your hunger scale. You should
not
be hungry and stop when you're satisfied, or at least start taking in information about what it feels like to be hungry, what it feels like to be satisfied.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of times I start my private clients with, when they don't know how to do hunger, I'll just have them, go ahead and eat dinner, but tell me what you think you started at and what you think you finished at. Okay, just be real about it. Don't judge it. If you started at, a zero and you ate to four, just start connecting your brain and your hunger scale with how your body feels.
Right. First, okay.
It's always being aware of where you are on the hunger scale.
Okay.
So
I'm going to focus on that and stop listening otherwise.
Right now, tell me, sitting where you are right now, where do you think you are on the hunger scale?
I'm not hungry at all. Like I'm probably like a +3 right now.
+3. Okay. Tell me how that feels. Yeah.
Honestly, it feels kind of full. Like I feel kind of heavy and full.
Okay, so you have a heaviness in your stomach?
Yeah.
How's your breathing? Yep. Breathing good and deep, or is it a little shallow? Does it matter?
No, it's probably a little shallow. It's probably a little shallow. Look, if I paid attention to it, it probably is.
Okay. How is your, do you have any, can you tell anything about your throat or is there any sounds coming out of your stomach or anything like that?
No, just a very full feeling.
Okay, very full. So
heavy and full.
Based on where you are right now, you are at least a +3,
mm-hmm.
right? +4. That's all you have to know. This is what +4 feels like.
Okay.
So then the next time you're ready to eat, 10 o'clock tomorrow or whatever time breakfast is, ask yourself, what am I feeling in my body? What physically am I feeling? Do I have the burning in my stomach? What does hunger feel like? You,
right. I don't really know. I should pay attention to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like I said, you have to blow past +2 to find +2. Okay. So you know now you're past.
Okay. +2. Yes.
Right.
You know what +3.
Whatever you decide it is. Now you know what it is.
What's in the oven?
It's just
180. What was temperature?
170. Sorry, I got supper in the oven and I just had a knock on the door there.
Well, that's all I was really going to say. Now you know what it feels like. Start taking in that information as you're getting hungry, so that you can begin to narrow your focus in on the mind.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
See ya. Bye-bye.
All right. I had Kathy, let's take you real quick and you'll be the last one because your hand's been up for a little bit.
Mute.
I just sent you a little ask to start video.
Hey!
Awesome. How are you doing?
Am I on? This is my first call, so I'm a little nervous. Okay, I joined December 29th. Mm-hmm. I did the free program from August 1st until I joined and mm-hmm. lost 30 pounds. And I've been on the struggle bus, but haven't given up since then. And I keep trying new things, but I've been stuck at 32 pounds now this whole time. And I've nailed down the, my water. I've upped my walking from about 3 miles a day to 7 a day and have been like 100. I'm like 100 and whatever since the beginning of the year, that many days. And but I can't figure the food out. I'm doing plans and I'm eating less, and I think I've got the -2 and the +2. I started doing like a little bowl that only held 1 1/4 cups so I could find that +2. And I did that for about a month, and I kind of go back to that, but I just don't understand why I'm still stuck. I'm 64, had thyroid problems pretty much my whole adult life. So, you know, I thought maybe I just can't lose weight, but I have 60 to go. So,
all right. So basically if you're maintaining, you're eating to maintain. So I'm going to give you
exactly. And
to try to really hone in on your -2 and +2 because it's
okay,
right? You're planning.
Okay. Yes. I'm planning. But what the other thing that I did, and I guess this is maybe pertinent, I don't know. So when I started with Corinne in August, I also went whole food plant-based.
Okay.
So I don't do meat, dairy, eggs, and I feel a million times better just doing that. And rarely do I go off of that.
Okay.
But I'm also struggling because with that, because you need to eat, and it's plants, you know, you need to eat more of that. You don't get as full as fast with that as I did when I had a steak or whatever. And
what fats are you eating?
Not many, because I'm 64. I'm doing this for my cholesterol to try to get it down and to lose weight once and for all and all that, because I'm obese. I weigh 201 pounds still. So, I'm not eating a lot of fat. I don't add fat to stuff. I'm cooking with broth instead. So I'm not eating fats much at all.
Okay. I would do two things. I would add a little bit of fat to each meal somehow. Something.
Okay. Avocado okay.
Is a good fat. Do you like avocado?
Oh, that's what I had for breakfast today was avocado, tomato, and lettuce sandwich.
Yeah.
So I had that. It was yummy. Yeah.
Do you eat nuts? Almond?
You know, I cut back on those because I put it in Facebook and somebody said, oh, I bet you're eating too many nuts. And I thought, oh, I bet I am, because they're high in calories. So I've like taken that out of the equation. So I'm kind of like down to, well, plants and some bread, and I'm not eating too, like I had 2 slices of bread today on my sandwich, so I won't eat anymore.
The nuts will help the satiety.
Okay.
Longer. As we're okay. They're also very good for your skin, you know, in the older.
Yeah, right. Right.
You know, we need the fats in our diet. Okay.
Right. Right.
Fat intake. I lost weight because my,
body, and yeah, I'm kind of like do I worry about my heart health, or do I worry about, and I don't have heart problems or whatever. I think my weight is the biggest problem.
But this is
actually.
You also pay attention to your, you know, your numbers with your doctor. Okay.
Right.
So
right.
What I'm telling you is what I would suggest to anyone. If it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for you. But
right.
Facebook post. Decide it based on real data from your body. Okay.
Right. Right.
Here's the other thing I would do. And I've heard this called the Kathy method, although I didn't name it. I think it's pretty cool that they call it that.
Yeah.
When you eat for the next, yes. I want you to eat half your food. And I want you to
okay.
10 minutes. And in that 10 minutes, I want you to think about where you are on your hunger scale.
Okay.
If you're not at +2 yet, eat half of what's left and wait 10 minutes and do it again. Here's why.
Okay.
What happens is your body, the food that you swallow, it takes time for it to get all the way down to your stomach and for your stomach to
sure.
your brain that you've had enough. Many yeah. times we're overeating and we don't realize it. And we start to confuse minus.
And I think
plus
I'm three, doing that.
+2.
Yeah.
So well, I'm not telling you, you're overeating. I'm telling you, I want you to just slow it way down and really think about how much, you know, how your body feels at these intervals.
So instead of like measuring out that little yellow bowl that I've been using, just make a meal and put it on my plate and eat half of it and then just wait 10 minutes.
Wait for 10 minutes. And I would journal about it. I journal.
Okay.
I think about leaving half this food behind if I'm at +2. How does my body feel? Because you're going to have all the chatter. You'll be like, but this is all the food.
Right.
Right.
Oh, I didn't get here by not liking food. I like food. Right. And even though I've changed to basically a vegan diet, I still like food. And yeah.
And then, you know, so half, you might not be at +2 yet. Just eat half again.
Right.
Right. And see where that lands you.
Okay. I think I'm getting scared because I mean, I've cleaned this stuff up now. I'm doing all the things that I shouldn't. Not be losing weight for 6 months.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, maybe it's the thyroid thing. Like I'll never be able to lose it. And that's yeah.
Right.
Right. Right.
Nice diet for sure.
Yeah. Well, I like that. And the other thing I was going to say is your last caller that was talking about intermittent fasting. I mean, I've been toying with that idea too, because I've been doing this and thought I was doing great and not really losing weight. And she did intermittent fasting for 6 months and lost 80 pounds. She's my age. And I was like, well, maybe I'm doing the wrong thing here, but I don't know.
I've heard Corinne say this too. First of all, we all fast. Mine usually is 12 to 14
sure.
hours.
Mine too.
I'm
yeah.
intermittent fasting. I've heard Corinne say recently that she's read that it's not really good for us as we age to intermittent fast. So if you're going to try something like that, I would definitely run it by your doctor first.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because that's a pretty big change. And it,
right.
Long a fast can affect our hormones and we need them to mm-hmm. be balanced, don't we?
Well, and yeah. And I think mine already aren't balance because I've gone through menopause and the thyroid stuff. So yeah, definitely.
You know, a longer fast may not be the thing for you. It may be, and it may not be, but I wouldn't do that, you know, unless I talk.
And I'm hungry usually about 9 or 10, but I mean, I get up at 5:30 and walk the first time, and I'm not hungry again till after I walk, especially when it's hot like this. But I'm by 10 o'clock, I've got to eat. So,
fasting.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thanks, girl.
You're welcome. Have a good one.
All right. You too. Bye.
Okay, everybody. A couple of quick announcements. This is super important for those of you who are still here. Corinne's call on Sunday, July 12th. It starts at 11 a.m. Central. She is giving us, all of us, an extra hour of coaching on her birthday. So she will actually be on, instead of for an hour and a half, she'll be on for 2.5 hours coaching, open coaching, all the topics from 11 a.m. until about 1:30 or so on Central Time on Sunday, July 12th. This coming Thursday, Betsy's going to do a call on realistic and doable plans. That'll be 5 p.m. Central Time. So that's tomorrow night. And then, of course, Corinne will have her Q&A at 9 a.m. Central Time in Facebook on Saturday. Okay? You're very welcome. Glad to be clarifying Central Time. That's all I got, y'all. Have a great rest of your evening, and I will see you soon. Okay? Bye.